once again, I want to say thank you for being here. We're so glad to have you. We're glad that you are with us today, that you're joining us today. Before I get into the word, I wanted to make one more announcement, and I wanted to make this announcement because it's something that I'm excited about, and I want you to put it in your calendar, diarize it on October the 14th, Wednesday night, starting Wednesday night, October the 14th. We're going to start a new Bible study here in the evenings, a new Bible study on being a leader as a Christian. And specifically, we're going to be talking about how God, different models that are in Scripture, different examples in Scripture of how we as followers of Christ, people who are in the kingdom of God, are leaders. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, I'm not a leader. I don't hold a leadership position. But one of the things we're going to talk about and one of the things we have to understand is that leadership has nothing to do with position. Leadership has everything to do with influence. And everyone in this room, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what position you hold in life, everyone in this room influences somebody. And as a result of that, all of us are leaders. And especially those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are leaders. And so therefore, we need to learn what the Bible has to say about how we lead, how we influence. So again, Bible study starting on Wednesday night, October the 14th, on how we lead as Christians. Want to invite all of you to come out and be a part of that. Well, this morning, we're starting a new series of messages as we dive into and begin to study the book of Colossians. During the last 21 days, we have been in a time of prayer and fasting. I believe that during this time, God has been speaking to you, probably been saying lots of things to you, and you've grown in your walk with the Lord. And I know that one of the things that always comes out of a season of prayer and fasting is just a greater awareness of God and a greater awareness of Jesus and his reality in our life. And really, the book of Colossians is all about that. It's all about a greater awareness of Jesus. So we're going to be talking about that over the next several weeks. One thing that I've been sort of amused by during 2020, and probably other people haven't found it quite so funny, but one of the things that has happened and that we've shared in common during 2020 is with schools closing down or being restrictive, a lot of parents, most parents, have found themselves having to get a crash course or learning very quickly about homeschooling. And it's been funny to listen and to watch as people have been sort of bemoaning the process and different things related to homeschooling. In our family, Desiree and I, we have been homeschooling parents for a really long time. We actually love homeschooling. We believe for us, for our family, for our kids, it's been a really good educational model. Now, some of you are looking at me right now. Some of you online are thinking, man, Randy is crazy. Homeschooling is terrible. It's hard. And I mean, let's face it, sometimes kids can be brutal, right? There's some nodding of the head. Some people have their kids with them, and so they don't want to like say anything. It could be tough, right? Kids and learning to homeschool your children or really trust the curriculum and do all those things. It can be tough sometimes, and there could be a learning curve associated with it. And if I'm being really, really honest with you, when I said Desiree and I have been homeschooling parents for a long time, the truth is Desiree does most of the homeschooling stuff, and my kids sort of like it that way. In fact, they usually don't enjoy it very much when dad has to help with homeschooling. It's kind of nice because Desiree gives me the title of being the principal of the school. But really what it is I'm just kind of the, you know, if all else fails and mom absolutely can't be around, then they sub me in there, right? And my kids especially hate it when I have to help them with maths, right? The maths, that's the part that they just... I mean, they struggle. You heard me. I almost said math, but you guys say maths. And so that Americanism was coming out right there. Kat was laughing at me in the sound booth, and so I had to acknowledge that. I actually practiced saying it right this week. That's how pitiful this is. And my kids, they hate it when I have to help them with the maths. And recently, we were, one of the kids earlier in the year, Desiree was actually pre all travel being locked down. Desiree was traveling. And so I was subbing in there for a few weeks, and it was miserable for my kids. And we were doing math, and it was, do you know the greater than, less than thing? So we were reviewing that concept of greater than with one of my kids. And it's amazing to me in trying to sort of teach that, and really we were sort of going back and reviewing something that had been learned before, how significant the whole concept of greater than is. And if you don't remember that, it's as if the number 9 is greater than the number 7, right? The number 7 is greater than, it's bigger, it's more than 5. And that's an important concept. I mean, it's sort of basic to math, and it's basic to life, knowing what is greater than. It's important to know what is greater than. And the more I thought about that, the more I realized that concept of greater than and less than is important, not just in math, but it's also important in life. It affects the way that we see a lot of things. It affects the way that we think about a lot of things. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, for those of us coming out of a season of life in which we perhaps have been challenged in significant ways, perhaps our world has been turned upside down, it's important that we understand that in our lives, there is someone who is greater than any situation we face. He's greater than any problem that we face. He's greater than any circumstance that may shake our life or may shake the world, if you will. When we talk about the book of Colossians, we need to understand that Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, and as he was writing to them, he was writing to them to express one very simple concept. But it wasn't just that it was simple, it was that it was powerful, and they had to understand it. And that concept is this: Christ is greater than anything. Fill in the blank. Whatever fits in your life, whatever you may be going through, whatever your circumstance is, whoever may exist in your life, no matter what is going on, Paul wanted the church at Colossae to understand Christ is greater. That's a powerful, powerful concept. And it shapes us as followers of Jesus. It shapes us as Christians. Anything that we may try to compare to Christ, anything that anyone else may try to compare to Christ, he is greater. Here's the thing that I want you to get this morning. Our understanding of Jesus impacts every area of our life. You show me a person who has low Christology, in other words, a low view of Christ, and I can show you a person who's going to struggle in every area of their life. I can show you a person who's going to deal with fear and anxiety and brokenness forever. Because our view of Christ and our understanding of Christ, who he is, and his power in our lives changes everything about us. An inferior view of Jesus produces a stunted way of existence. Let me say that again. An inferior view of Jesus produces a stunted way of existence. A lot of times we think that our problems, our modern problems, are unique to us. And yet the truth is that the problems that Paul was writing to deal with in the New Testament church, that he wrote these letters that we have been studying, that he wrote to correct and address, a lot of those problems that we have today are very similar to, if not the same problem, that they had in Paul's day as well. The people at Colossae were dealing with a situation in which the identity of Christ, the power of Christ, and Christ's power to be at work in their lives was being questioned. And so as a result, it was creating insecurity in their lives because they were Their view of Jesus was being lowered. It was creating, it was producing within them fear and anxiety and an overwhelming existence. And in the same way that you and I deal with fear and deal with anxiety and deal with being overwhelmed in life, they were as well. Paul wanted them to understand, if you lower your view of Jesus, then you're going to create instability, or a better way of putting it, you're going to create a stunted existence. In other words, you're never going to fully realize your potential because you don't understand that it is Christ at work in you that produces the glory of God through you. See, as followers of Jesus Christ, it is the glory of God through us that is the maximization of our potential. It's not our own power. It's not our own might. It's not our own ability to produce or do anything. We've been talking about it for several weeks now. It's not our own ability to be righteous, our own ability to be good, our own ability to be creative or powerful. It's Christ at work through us that causes us to reach our potential. This is why Paul said to them in the book of Colossians, set your mind on things above. North Place Church, I believe God's word to us is that we set our mind on things above. In a world that is full of all kinds of things that can distract us, all kinds of things that can cause us to be overwhelmed by fear, all kinds of things that can stunt us and cause us to feel like we can't move forward and we can't get things done, Paul says, set your mind on things above. I believe that's God's word to you. I believe that's God's word to me. As we set our mind on things above, we will realize that the glory of God is not only at work in us, but it's at work through us, giving us the ability to move through every season and every situation, even homeschooling. So today, as we start this series, we're going to look at what Paul begins to do in sort of the beginning of the book. And it is, he's trying to establish and answer the question and sort of theologically frame the idea, who is Jesus Christ? I want to read to you Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 15 through 20 to you. It says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. Man, I love the book of Colossians, and I love Paul's language, and I love how he talks about Jesus, and I love how he explains who Jesus is and the power of Christ, not only in our lives, but in all of the earth. See, Paul wanted them to understand the fullness of the invisible God dwelt in the visible Christ. The fullness of the invisible God dwelt in the visible Christ. For you and for me, we must understand that when the Bible speaks of Christ being the image of the invisible God, it refers to two things, or two concepts, if you will, both likeness and manifestation. When the Bible talks about Christ being in the image of God, he's talking about the likeness of God. And when that word likeness sort of understands as if in a mirror, like when you look in a mirror, the reflection is the likeness, right? And as we look at ourselves in the mirror, we get a reflection of ourselves. We're able to see ourselves. And And I've noticed that as I get a little bit older, the reflection starts to change, right? The little wrinkles are there. I start to see things I'd never seen before. Of course, I have to put on my glasses to see it. Do any of you have that mirror that's like five times? I don't know what age you have to get to where that mirror becomes necessary, but I'm there, right? But there, that mirror gives you the capacity to see the likeness. So when the Bible talks about likeness, when we talk about likeness, Jesus is a reflection of God. He's in the image. He's the likeness of God. When we see Jesus, we are seeing the invisible attributes of God. Also, it refers to manifestation. Now, this holds a sense in which when we talk about Jesus being the manifestation of God, it really means that he is fully, or God is fully revealed in Christ. The attributes, the characteristics of God, we can see them, we can observe them, we can know them when we know Jesus. Jesus is both the perfect reflection and the full revelation of God the Father. Many of us in our Christology, in our theology about Christ, our understanding of Christ, we somehow have created an image in our mind as if like the Godhead is a hierarchy, right? Like God is here and Jesus is here, and somehow Jesus is less than God. But that actually is not a biblical theology. That's a theology that we have adapted based on our cultural understanding of God. Because for most of us in our home cultures, the Father is always something bigger, greater than the Son, right? Somehow or another, the Son is always less than the Father. And when the Bible describes for us Jesus, the Son of God, many of us naturally, because of our cultural lenses, we automatically assume that Jesus is something a little less than God. I mean, he's a lot like God, but he's a little bit less. And that really is not a proper understanding of Jesus. Jesus fully is God. So when we read about Jesus, when we study our Bibles, this is why we do a daily 20 here at North Place Church. This is why we spend 5 minutes. This is why we spend 5 minutes in worship, right? Because we're aligning ourselves into the identity of Jesus. This is why we spend 5 minutes in the Word of God, so that we're learning about God. We're learning about Jesus. This is why we spend 5 minutes praying and talking to him. This is why we spend 5 minutes listening to him. Because we want him to have proper place in our lives. When we study our Bibles during the daily 20, especially when you read the Gospels, or you read the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, or you read the epistles in which Paul talks about Jesus, all of those things help us to fully understand God. Jesus is never separate from God. He is God. Hello? As we mature in our faith, our understanding, our theology about the Trinity has to grow. It has to understand. And we have to know that there are limitations to our cultural understanding of who God is. And we can't always trust our culture. We have to say, what does God's Word actually teach? And what God's Word actually teach is that Jesus was not merely a human being who became God at his resurrection. That Jesus was not just a wise moral teacher or a prophet. That Jesus himself was God. He claimed to be God, and he proved that he was God through his resurrection. He didn't become God at the resurrection. He proved that he was God through the resurrection. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians who actually believe what the Bible says, not what people tell us the Bible says. Hello? Hello? As Christians who really understand the Bible because we read it and we study it ourselves, and we don't have to rely on other people to tell us what it says, we know that Jesus was not just not just a great moral teacher. Jesus was not just a good man. He was not just some hippie savior who just kind of came around and said good things and loved everybody and made everybody feel good. No, he literally was God on earth who came for our salvation, who came to offer himself as a sacrifice for ourselves. The great writer C.S. Lewis said this, "He is either Lord or a lunatic. Because of his claims, he cannot fall anywhere else." See, there are a lot of people in our culture and in our society today in 2020 who want to redefine Jesus. But as I said earlier in the message, that isn't just a problem that's unique to us in 2020. That was actually a problem in the first century church. That's why Paul specifically wrote the letter to the church at Colossae, because there were people there were Gnostics and others from various cults and various religions who sought to redefine Jesus. And every time they redefined Jesus, they were taking pieces of his deity away from him. Every time they redefined Jesus, they wanted to define him a little lower than his actual place as God. From the moment of his conception, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary the Virgin, Jesus was fully God. This is why we refer to Christ as God the Son. Did you catch that? This is why we refer to him as God the Son. He is God the Son. God manifest himself as the Son here on earth. To grow in our relationship with Christ, it is synonymous. It is equal to growing closer to God. It is impossible to grow in our understanding of who God is without growing in our understanding and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God the Son, shows us the fullness of who God the Father is. Every time we worship him, every time we read the Gospels and we read his words, every time that we read about him as the prophets declare his identity, we are growing closer to God. We are looking into that mirror. We are realizing and understanding the manifestation of who he is. And as Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, he says this, "Christ reigns supreme over creation." Now, the reason Paul wrote this to the church at Colossae was very, very important, because specifically in that particular area, there was a cult of people. There were a group of people who their religion, their idea was to worship creation itself. Paul tells the church at Colossae that Christ is the firstborn over all creation, and all things are created in him, through him, and for him, both the invisible things and the visible things. But these people who were there in that area, who were worshiping the creation, they were worshiping birds, they were worshiping the sun, they were worshiping the ocean, they were worshiping the trees and different things. By doing so, they were equating the creation with the creator. And Paul was writing to correct them and say, listen, you've got to understand that the creation itself isn't equal with the creator. When you and I think about creation, we should understand, we should know that it is glorious. It does speak of who Christ is and his power, but not because it is equal with God, but because it was created by God, through God, and for God. Many times in our culture and in our society, we deal with different people who worship different things. And one of the things that you see all throughout biblical history, and we even see it to this day, is that there are people who worship many created things. This is what makes us unique as followers of Jesus Christ and as Christians, in that we don't worship created things, we worship the creator of all things. Paul argues that all of creation exists because of him and for him. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." Isaiah chapter 40 verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all of these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Paul wanted the people to understand, and I believe God wants us to understand, that everything that exists in creation exists because of him, through his will and through his power. All of these things are for his glory and because of his glory. See, my friend, we cannot fall into the trap as many people throughout human history have fallen. By lowering ourselves through worshiping those things which have been created rather than the creator of all things. Scripture is very clear that Jesus is the creator of all things. The other side of the coin is, I think sometimes that we as Christians can also fall into the trap of not appreciating what creation does and what creation declares about the glory of God. You see, delighting in creation requires worship to our Creator. When you and I stop and we look at the stars and we look at the heavens, it evokes within us worship for the Creator of those things. I wonder how many times we move through our life and we don't observe what is around us and how what is around us declares just how powerful our God is, just how supreme Christ is in his might, in his power, in his glory. So many of us move through seasons of our life of disappointment, of hurt and pain, and we ask ourselves the question, well, what do I have to worship about? What do I have to give praise for? What do I have to rejoice in? And yet, Scripture teaches us that all of creation literally declares his glory. If you have nothing else, if I have nothing else, I can look up into the sky and I can see his might. I can see his power. I can see his glory. And understanding that frames my existence. One of the things that I love so much about living in Africa is the Africa sky. I've been a lot of places in the world, and there's nothing quite like the sky in Africa. There's nothing quite like going outside and looking up and seeing the heavens, seeing the wonder of his might and the wonder of his power. And there have been so many occasions upon which I have looked up and I have stared into the universe, and it has framed for me just how small I am, and in light of that, just how small my problems are compared to his glory, compared to his power, compared to his might. As Paul wrote and he talked about just who Jesus was, I can almost imagine the church at Colossae understanding that, no, we don't worship these things, but it is because of these things that we worship. Let me say that again, because I really believe that needs to click inside of us. We don't worship these things, but it is because of these things that we worship. These things testify of his might and testify of his power. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Let me read that passage to you again. It says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." See, Christ is not only the full representation of God, and not only is he supreme over creation, Christ makes reconciliation possible through his work on the cross. A professional wouldn't have turned and looked and drew your attention to that. Paul shows the ultimate purpose and mission of Christ on the earth when he makes this declaration. When Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood for all of creation. And he made it possible for the world, including you and I, to be reconciled to himself. When we talk about Jesus' work on the cross, it is a reference to the literal death of God's Son. Of God the Son on the cross in our place, on our behalf. He took the punishment of death for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And only he can provide that for us. Only he has the power for that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." Did you catch that? In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Because the fullness of God dwelled in Christ, we too can have the fullness of life, the fullness of his power at work in us and through us. See, when you lower who Christ is, you diminish his power at work in your life. You diminish your belief in his power to be at work in your life. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus is speaking and he replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them," get this, "and will come to them and make our home with them." Oftentimes when we talk about reconciliation, we get excited and we think, oh, that means that I'm going to be saved one day. That means that God's power is going to work in my life someday. But what we have to understand is that reconciliation means that God's work is in power. God's work and his power is at work in your life today. Not someday, not when you die, not when the rapture takes place, not at some distant future, but God's power is at work in you right here, right now, today. And when we understand just how supreme and how powerful Christ is, and how powerful his work is, and how powerful his hand is in our lives, it frames everything for us. Our problems, our pain, our struggles, we understand that all of it is in submission to his great power. I used the expression a few months ago. I've come to a place that I'm really concerned that we have arrived at a moment in church history where the church is full of people that I would refer to as nothing else besides Christian atheist. They practice the religion of Christianity, but they really don't believe in God. They really don't believe in his power. The church at Colossae was at risk of that very thing, because there were so many people who were diminishing who Jesus really was. And those people had infiltrated the church, and people in the church were listening to those people because they were trying to adapt to the culture around them. They were trying to be accepted by and liked, receive those like buttons by the culture around them. And so they were accepting a lower view of Jesus. And in accepting a lower view of Jesus, the power of Jesus to be at work in their life was no longer working. The question I believe the Lord is asking us right now is, do you really know who I am? Do you really believe in who I am? I want to encourage you right now to just stand with me all across this place this morning. Those of you who are joining us online, I want to encourage you to just close your eyes for a moment. Those of you who are in the room, just close your eyes for a moment. And as Desiree just begins to play softly on the piano, as your eyes are closed, if you'll just hold steady with me just for a moment. Just close your eyes just for a moment. I want to invite you to allow the Spirit of God to just begin to speak to you. Just as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and was trying to remind them of just who Jesus was, of just how powerful and mighty God was, I believe the Spirit of God wants to remind you and I this morning of just how powerful He is. Of just who He is in your life. Just who He has always been in your life. He is the one who paid the price for you that no one else could pay. He's the one that before there was existence, there He was. And He spoke existence. He created you and He created all things. He's more powerful than any circumstance, than any situation. He holds life and the universe literally in His hand. That's how powerful He is. And in spite of what other people may want to tell you about Jesus, we don't have to accept what other people say. We have the revelation of His word. He came to earth and He revealed Himself so that we might know. And while He was on this earth, He demonstrated His power over nature, over creation, over sickness, over disease, over death, over hell and the grave. Over any problem that we could face, He demonstrated His power because He is God. I believe He's reminding you and I of that this morning. I want to encourage you. Just listen to Him speak to you. Father, I thank You for every person that is here. I thank You for every person that is listening online. I pray, Lord, that You would speak clearly to each person. According to Your word, even those who aren't in relationship with You and don't know You, that by the Holy Spirit, You speak to them, You draw them to God, You reveal God to them. And so I ask You, no matter who a person is, this morning, they're joining us here, they're online, reveal God to them. Whether they know You or in relationship with You or submitted to You or not, Holy Spirit, I ask You, reveal God to us. Draw us to the Father. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to frame our existence in light of Your great power. Not what other people say about You, not the way that other people want to diminish You, not the way that other people want to ignore Your word or twist Your word or add to Your word to paint a different picture of You. But God, You're God. You're powerful enough. Reveal Yourself to us now. Thank You, Lord. thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and God is speaking to you, and perhaps there's an area in your life where you're facing something that is big, that's great, that's difficult or challenging, and recently you've been struggling with, where is God in all of this? Or how do I get through all of this? Or this is overwhelming to me. And the Lord has been speaking to you this morning. I just want to say to you, we in light of the government regulations, we can't have an altar time, but we still can counsel with you this morning. We can still minister to you this morning. And so in just a moment, when I dismiss service, our prayer team is going to be up here at the front, and gentle music will continue to play. And before you rush out, I want to encourage you, come up here to the front and allow one of our prayer team members to counsel with you this morning, to minister to you. Perhaps you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, but as I've been speaking this morning, something's just sort of been going off inside of you, and you've been like, you know, I need to respond to that. I want to have a relationship with God, or I want to restore my relationship with God. Please, before you leave today, come and chat with one of these prayer team members. Allow them to minister to you this morning. Allow them to help you to respond to what you're sensing inside of you. For those of you who are watching online, perhaps you as well are sensing the need to respond to what you've heard this morning. I would encourage you, just type prayer in the comment section. Or if that's too public for you, you can just instant message us right now. One of our pastoral teams will connect with you. They'll pray with you. They'll help you to respond to what you're sensing right now. We don't want you to leave today. We don't want you to click off until you've responded to what God is speaking to you. North Place, those of you who are here, I love you. I love you so much, and I've been praying for you. This message has been building and building and building in my heart, because I believe God wants us to know His power is at work in us and through us. If we will just embrace Him for who He is and who He is revealing Himself to be in our lives and through His Word. I'm gonna pray for you. We're gonna be dismissed this morning. But once again, I wanna encourage you, respond. Come to the front after service is over if the Lord is speaking to you and you would like some help in responding to His speaking to you. Father, I thank you so much for all of these folks, for our friends who are here, our friends who are joining us online. Lord, I know that you're speaking to us now. I know that you've been speaking to me. Lord, as much as I preach this message today to this church, I've been preaching it to myself all week long. Christ, I know who you are. I don't need someone else to tell me who you are. Your word has revealed to me who you are. Your Spirit is revealing to me who you are. And you are magnificent. You are powerful. You are above all things. And you're bigger. You're greater. You're greater than anything that I'm facing. Lord, I pray that every person here this morning would have that revelation. And as we go this week, may we see you at work on the earth. If we need to, may we look up into the heavens and just give you praise as we frame our existence in light of your great power. You are supreme, Christ. Help us to see it, know it, and live it. Bless these people in all that they do this week. Everything that they touch, may it bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you, North Place. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.